Hi, this is Pastor Billy Burke. I want to speak to you today on the subject of the midnight cry, the lateness of the hour in which we are living. It is late, my friend. It is very late. It's very, very close to midnight. What does that mean, close to midnight? There's a story in Matthew chapter 25 of the 10 virgins, five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. Jesus taught this parable, and he spoke of the rapture. He was speaking of the time whenever the bridegroom would come, and those that were ready for him, they would go with him at that moment. And we see here that this Matthew 25 talks about five virgins that were ready. They were called the wise virgins. Why were they ready? Because they took along with their lanterns extra oil. And when it got dark, so dark that it put out the light of all of their lamps, both the wise and the foolish, their oil ran out, their lights went out because the darkness lasted longer than they thought. Well, the foolish virgins didn't have any extra oil, so therefore they were in the dark. But the wise virgins who took extra oil, they prepared a little more. They had more thought into it. They were more ready. Then whenever that darkness took out, they just put in the extra oil. Their lamps lit up, and they were able to meet the bridegroom and go and be with the bridegroom for the great wedding celebration. Well, guess what? The foolish virgins came to the wise virgins and said, "Can we have some oil?" And they said, here's what they said, "No, you must go and buy your own. There's a cost to having this oil." Jesus was speaking here about a time whenever, you know, time as we know it changes. The paradigm of time changes. There's a distinct change, just like whenever the door on Noah's Ark closed. It wasn't open forever. There was a day whenever, when in Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was prayer, there was intercession, there was warning, there were angels. But there was a day whenever firebombs fell out of the sky and destroyed two cities. There was a day whenever Jericho was warned, but they marched for 7 days. On the seventh day, they shouted, blew the shofar and shouted, and walls came down. There was a day whenever Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days, but then he died on the 41st day. What I'm saying is that there's a climax in the scriptures. Things just don't go on forever. I know they seem like they do. It just seems like there's a new bridge going up in your city. There's a new store. There's a new TV station. There's a new iPhone coming out. There's a better movie coming at Christmas time. It just seems like who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? It just seems like life's just going to go on perpetually the way that it is. Not so if you are an avid reader of the scripture. Not so if you believe in Bible prophecy. Not so if you believe that all things have a purpose and God has a plan. If you believe all things have a purpose and God has a plan of the ages, then pay attention to what I'm saying to you, because he wants you to be among the remnant that is so ready that you won't have to get ready. Whenever you're ready, you don't have to get ready. Whenever you're not ready, then you spend a lot of time getting ready and sometimes just not in the clearest frame of mind. But in Matthew 25, Jesus speaks of a day whenever there is the cry from the groom, that midnight cry, and he's saying, "It's midnight, come hither with me." And a day whenever all that you put into living for God comes to a climax, it's now time to transition to the next phase of the plan of the ages. Hey, and guess what? Five of the foolish virgins, they were still virgins. You know, they were still good people, but they were just not ready. So many today are not ready. So many are, but I don't know which category you, my friend, are in. But I pray that by the end of this teaching, that you decide to get extra oil, that you get ready so that you don't have to, that you become ready so you don't have to get ready in that moment that all of this stuff begins to unravel, take place on planet Earth. And whenever this begins to take place, you can be a stabilizing force instead of one that is falling apart, as many, many people will. Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for the uncertainty of the hour and the fear. There's another verse in John 9 that Jesus related to, and he said, "Work while it's daytime, Nighttime is coming when no man can work. That's a powerful phrase. Work while it's daytime, for nighttime is upon us when no man... He again was speaking of the same time that the virgins were speaking of, or that Jesus was speaking of concerning the virgin story. He was saying, work while it's daytime. He was talking about a prophetic calendar, not the one that we have. I mean, we get all excited or whatever over daylight savings time. We get excited whenever we drive up north and see the northern lights. We are a people that are easily impressed with climate change, signs in the sky, times and seasons. But there is a time and a season upon us, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting late, very, very late. There is a time when this whole thing as we see it is no longer the same. And we're approaching that time so, so quickly. And Jesus said, labor, pray, you know, use your faith, witness to people, tell people about the coming kingdom, work while it's day. Make sure your own feet are planted in the right place. Make sure your own family knows about the gospel story, the climax of the ages. Make sure those people that are in your sphere of influence. In other words, he was saying, work while it's yet daytime. Take care of those people that are in your sphere of influence. Don't let them just go to a devil's hell. Don't let them just suffer needlessly in pain whenever there is prayer for the sick that will raise them up. So we see here that there is this virgin story of the oil, of the midnight cry, getting so late. And guess what? In that story, the bridegroom did come, and the five wise virgins did go, and the five foolish virgins were left behind. How sad. What a day that was for them. In Matthew 24, Jesus again says that there's a day whenever two men will be walking in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. All of these stories that I'm relating to, they depict more than... I'm not speaking about the actual event itself, but I'm speaking about the change in the timing. There is a late hour. Where are we specifically? We don't really know. I don't really know the exact moment of either the rapture of the church or the second coming of Christ. I don't know that. One thing I do know is we are living in a great hour of acceleration. You know, Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 24, you know, whenever you see the kingdoms fighting each other, whenever you see wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, whenever you see these things, this is the beginning of sorrow. Well, the word sorrow there in the Greek language means birth pang. Whenever you see these things become more frequent, then you know that I am at the door. So as a woman's about to give birth, you know, her birth pangs become more frequent before the breaking of the water. There's a frequency that takes place closer to whenever the water breaks. And that's how she knows, the husband knows, the people in the household know. What we are to be aware of is, you know, the people that, there's always been earthquakes. There's always been storms. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. Yes, that's true. But never, never has there been the frequency of them as there is now. There's more of them, and they're more frequent than ever, ever before. Why? It's getting close to midnight. But the part I'm dealing with today with you is the part of this end time, the part of this midnight hour, is that Jesus said that there would be spreading of pestilences or diseases over the entire earth. You know, and one thing that is for sure today, aren't people suffering everywhere? There's more names for more diseases than we ever knew before. I mean, diseases and their names are being created overnight. The Legionnaire's disease, the Ebola virus, the HIV virus. These are all modern-day viruses that either did not exist back then in the day of Jesus or they were under a different name. We don't know, but one thing we know, the deforestation in the earth, the airstream, the airborne diseases, all of the atomic and nuclear testing. There's so many. I mean, the waste dumps. There's so many causes for illnesses today. You know, what they're putting in the foods, the pesticide laws. You know, I mean, it all comes back to the sin factor in the earth. You know, the failure of man's connection to God. That's the ultimate reason. But the way it feathers out into life, there's so many avenues in which the breakdown of the cellular structure of people takes place. People are sick. Listen to me today. As you're hearing my voice, I want you to see, and I know you know this. I know you know, it's probably hit your family. It may be in your family right now. It's difficult. If you've lost a loved one to a disease, if someone you're watching pine away and suffer, and in today's world, in this modern hour, you know, diseases like dementia and the Alzheimer's, where you stand by and watch people you love lose their thinking process, can't put memory together. It's painful. It hurts. But let me tell you something. It's happening to every culture. It's happening to every tongue and tribe. People everywhere, irrespective of gender and age and culture, they are suffering. And they're taking great extremes to alleviate that suffering. They're going into practices that are not scripturally sound, that have nothing to do with Jesus, that have nothing to do with the gospel. Everything seems to be lawful and okay if it's to make one feel better. Let me say something to you right now. Let me say something. Thank you, Lord, for good doctors. Thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough treatments. But in today's world, there seems to be a question as to who can really afford these treatments. Who has access to them? You know, is there favoritism going on here? Certainly there seems to be. There's a war between conventional medicine and natural homeopathic medicine. One says of the other, they're no good, rather than, hey, they both work together fine. The healthcare system is broke no matter who the president is. We can't seem to get a plan that works to the people, that covers everybody, that's affordable, that's powerful, and that it's real. There's a plan that still works, though, and it's over 2,000 years old, and it came from a place called Calvary. I call it Calvary Care. I call it Calvary Care, a place where someone named Jesus hung on a cross, and he said these chilling words, "My stripes, by my stripes, you are healed." We still haven't scratched the surface of what all that means and how we take stuff from his back and get it into our body. But it can be done. It can be done by faith. It can be done through prayer. It can be done through the gifts of the Spirit. It can be done through television, social media, boots on the ground crusades, one-to-one, people one-to-one, people one-to-thousands. However, whatever, it can be done. And I'm telling you, it must be turned loose, and it must be turned loose right now. It is the secret weapon from heaven against the battle of every illness known to mankind. But it is no secret. It's not just that it's a secret, but it's politicized. Churches disagree over it. And a lot of the men and women that have believed in this message, for some reason, and there's many of them, I won't get into any of them, but there's many of them, who began a journey trying to perpetrate this message. And for one reason or another, the attack they came under, their own life, their own health, their own family, it's such a threat to the devil. And it's a threat to the system who's more concerned about money than your well-being. You know, back in the day in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, Peter preached, 4,000 people were born again. Imagine 4,000 people. That's a lot of people. 4,000 people said yes to the Lord, and there was not one hand raised up against Peter, not one disagreeing voice. The Sanhedrin said nothing. The common folk said nothing. Peter preached, and the Bible says 4,000 people believed. And yet just a short while later, Peter and John were walking up to the gate Beautiful. They came across the lame man. One man, he got healed, and all of hell broke loose. 4,000 people were saved, nothing. One man healed, hell breaks loose. And they wanted to throw Peter and John into prison, threatening them to not ever do this thing ever again. Why was that so unnerving? Because it was tangible. It could be seen. It could be proven. It could not be refuted. When someone says they're saved, you know, they can jump up and down and shout, but you don't know if there's really a change in them. until sometime down the road. But if someone gets healed, a blind man, a deaf person, a crippled person, a person on chemotherapy, cancer, dialysis, whatever, when that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, it can be seen and it cannot be refuted. And that shakes the corridors of a dark, ugly hell. Because the devil knows that more people are ruled by sight than by faith. Oh, we're working at that faith walk, but a lot of people are still ruled by what they see in the natural. Now, I don't know when the rapture or the second coming are about to take place, but I do know that right now there's a lot of people in the earth, right now, boys, girls, babies, elderly, moms, dads, rich and poor, they're in pain. They're hurting. They're hurting. They're medicated. They have long, hard days to get through. And oftentimes, they're very alone. You know, and there's so many people, and I see them. They come to our crusades. I see them in our meetings. I meet them back at our product table. You know what? And these people, the weather don't matter anymore. Or the kind of car they have. Or the newest phone. Or their clothes, their wardrobe. It just doesn't matter. They just want to feel good again. They don't care if they ride to church on a bicycle. They don't care if they have an old rotary phone. They just want to feel good. Their values have changed. When you can't function like you used to, whether it's sight or hearing or pain or medication, life changes. And that's the way that it is for millions. Now, if it's happening in your own family, you get a taste of it. Because it's in your circle, and if it's in your circle, it affects you. But if it's not happening in your circle, then oftentimes we don't want to go to hospitals. We don't want to go to convalescent homes, and we don't want to go to the prisons. Yet Jesus said those are some of the biggest harvest fields there are. Why don't we want to go there? We don't want to be reminded of our frailty, of human suffering. We don't want to be reminded that there's people out there that are crying for help. I'm just so glad someone was there for Billy Burke. I'm so glad that, you know, at the age of 9, when I had just a few days to live, that I was introduced to a lady named Catherine Kuhlman, who in that day was going against the grain, swimming upstream, going against the flow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. People there, the churches there, they saw her as competition. They saw her as a woman, and they didn't like the way that she did what she did. But I'm glad she did it. I'm glad she stood against the tide of popularism. I'm glad she stood against the tide of, you know, what everybody deemed was the right way in that hour. And she went with the flow of the wind of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, that one warm day in the month of July, I stood in front of her and all of my cancer was taken away. When I left there, I still needed help. I needed help in my mind, believing that what happened really happened. And that's where I had a grandmother and a mother who sheared up and became a support group, an iron gate, a brazen wall, a hedge of protection. I say that because there's a lot of people today that don't have that kind of support group. They don't have people that in their home, their immediate family. They don't have people that are ragged-edged, sharp-edged people in their faith. They may have nice people, good people, people that will do anything for you, but that's not what you need. You need somebody that knows how to get a hold of the living God. Nice people don't matter. It's people that know how to get a hold of the hem of the garment that matter. When you need help that no doctor, no medicine, no vitamin, no treatment anywhere on the earth can help you, then you need to be connected to somebody that can connect you. I hear their cry. I'm asking you to hear their cry, or I'm asking you to hear the cry of the Holy Spirit through me. I, Billy Burke, cannot do this alone. I cannot do this alone. I've been doing this for nearly 38 years. I've traveled pretty much the whole world. There's a few places I have not yet walked, but our program has gone, our videos have gone. Back in the Persian Gulf War, back in 89, 90, 91, the aircraft carriers was loaded with our cassette tapes. Yeah, that's right. My story was on the aircraft in the Persian Gulf War, and the testimonies of many of those soldiers. It gave them hope and faith and courage. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an hour not just at the acceleration of bad things in the earth, but it's also the acceleration of this great gospel that's being spread in so many ways all over the world. I'm so glad that I'm a part of that. But again, I cannot do it alone. We're reaching maximum capacity. If I was a motel, I'd have to hang out a sign that said, no vacancy. If I was a soda machine, I might have to say, out of order. If I was a big Walmart department store, I might have to say, closed for inventory. It's such a stretching moment in this hour. Darkness is so dark. The cry is so loud. The need is so great. And I need help. I don't like saying that. I'd rather just do it myself. Because I know the ears that are listening to this have your own plate. I'm asking you to push your peas to the side. Push your carrots over to the other side. And allow the Holy Spirit to maybe put one more nutrient onto your plate that could radically change your life forever. Oh, I'm telling you a story that is so real, so true, and so possible for you to be a great part of. I am using every ounce of faith that I have to touch as many people as possible while it's still daytime. Many are being restored, many are being healed, and many are being made whole. We've expanded our television ministry into different markets. Our social media is ever growing. We now have our own Roku channel. You know, our website is just beginning to be such a powerful, powerful tool, billyburke.org. And if you're a partner with our ministry, we have a special partner page that has a private code that'll be forthcoming. There's so much we're doing. We are doing crusades being planned all over the world. Many of these places where we're planning them, there's no support. The people are too poor, but we must get there. There must be one boy who needs his leg healed. There must be one woman who needs her womb healed. There must be somebody somewhere that needs to see, that needs to be raised up off of a deathbed. We've got to get to them. We will have our Healing Stream International School training people of all ages to hear God, to love people, and to move in the power gifts. Oh, it's amazing. I'm so excited. Leaders and lay people all alike. The expansion of this healing school will touch every... It's such a vital part that'll bring healing and hope to people everywhere, not just with their needs, but empowering them to be the heart, to be the eyes, the ears, and the hands of Jesus himself. My friend, it is late. Right now, people need a miracle. Right now, today. Whether the midnight cry of the virgin, which is the rapture of the church, or whether it's the midnight cry of someone screaming silently for help, lying in a hospital bed, sitting at home feeling worthless, life has passed them by. All they can do is be glued to a television, lost in the plots of Hollywood movies. Listen to me. This is a serious moment that I'm asking you for. I'm asking you for help because there's so many right now that if they go home to be with the Lord today, they've never really asked him into their heart as a Savior, even people that are healed. God don't take you to heaven because you suffered here. He don't take you to heaven because you were patriotic and gave your life for your country. That's not what gets you into heaven. You don't get to heaven because you go to church, you wash the pastor's car, or you rang the bell for the Salvation Army. You only get to heaven, Jesus said, by accepting Jesus Christ and him only as your way of salvation. I'm saying today that this is such an hour approaching midnight. There is a clock in the earth today. The earth is ticking, has a clock in it. The trees know it. The waves of the sea know it. The dolphins, the porpoises, and the fish life know it. The stars know it. There's a cry in the earth. There's a groaning for their redemption. There's a clock in the earth, and it's ticking. There's a clock in you, my friend. There's a clock in me, and that clock is ticking as well. We all have that clock. There's a certain point where you become well aware of your age, and you begin to wonder, how many good years do I have left? I'm after significance. So many of us have already survived. We have some marginal or great success in our life. But what people are crying for today, even the famous, even the celebrities and the athletes and the inventors and the writers, screaming for significance. What can I do that's lasting? What can I do that affects people, not just for here and for now? Well, today is the need. Now is the time. And I'm asking you to plant a seed, a financial seed, into this ministry. I'm asking you to partner with me, Pastor Billy Burke, today. And I can say this, where I go, you will go. Who I touch, you will touch. And the reward that I get, yes, you will share in that prophet's reward. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that the Holy Spirit would help you feel the lateness of the hour, hear the cry of those that need help, and in some way make an effort to make an impact. Does it have to be with Pastor Billy Burke? Of course not. I'm sure you have your own circle of people that need help that you can get busy with. You have your own church that you can connect with. I'm just a voice in the wilderness on the outside that is very, very acutely aware of the clock that's ticking away close to midnight. The bridegroom's about to yell. He's about to say, come hither. Oh, I would like you, I would like all of your family, your friends, I'd like everybody in all of our meetings to have that extra oil. I would like to see everybody on a walker, throw it away in a cane, and you know, the whole laundry list. I'm not sure the reality of all of that. Even Jesus went into places where he could only do a few miracles. His hometown, he could only do a few. So even the hands of Jesus was tied from time to time. Untie my hands, my friend. Let me untie your hands. I'm not asking you to give away the whole farm. I'm not asking for all of your tractors. I'm not asking you for the farmhouse. I'm asking you to sow some seed out of your field to help me get to more people. You know, as I stood before Catherine Coleman as a young boy and my family never giving her any money, the day that I stood there dying, none of us in our family had helped her monetarily wise at all. But evidently, somebody did because she was there able to do it. I want to be there able because a lot of the people that come into these meetings, they don't have resources. We don't charge for them to come. When we say you can have a miracle, they come by the hundreds and by the thousands. Today, would you pray about this? Would you pray about hearing the cry of the people? Would you pray about the midnight cry, the hour that is getting so late? So many people die before their time. They shouldn't have to die. But they just didn't get the right opportunity at that moment to be exposed to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to have the prayer of faith, to hear someone say, you don't have to have that bad seed that was planted in you. Why would you say that, Billy Burke? Because my Bible says that with God, all things are possible. And when God says all things are possible, oh, I do believe it. I've seen it over and over and over again. But as I said to you earlier in this teaching, no one can do it alone. If Jesus needed a group of ragtag people from tax collectors and fishermen and farmers, if he needed a team to accomplish the will of God for him, how much more do I or anyone else need in any occupation a team of people to pray, to believe, and to financially support the Great Commission? Oh, I promise you this. Here's what I can promise you according to the scriptures. Wherever I go and people get healed, whatever the miracle is, God will put some kind of a deposit inside of you. That's how this works. It may be a money deposit. It may be a presence deposit. It may be a favor deposit. It may be something that trickles over into your children or your grandchildren. But one thing I know, that whenever you get our updates, our news reports, whenever you see our program and you hear of the stories, there's a satisfaction that will hit your soul. Yes, this satisfaction in the soul, there's nothing like knowing that you're gleaning behind the right wagon. There's nothing like it. Knowing that in this time in your life, that you're hearing the right information for your spiritual growth, for your journey, for you finding out what hand you're going to use to put on the right plow, your assignment from God. I want to help you with that. Today, please come and join me. Come and join this quest, this revolution of healing and miracles to touch the earth as we know it today, before the midnight hour. Call the number 813-287-2116. You can contact me through our website at billyburke.org. Ask for Leslie. Leslie is in charge of all of our partner care and communications, and she'll show you how to get on the fast track with this ministry that's piercing the darkness, that is walking through the open veil that was rent on the day of Calvary, and how to make your hands his healing hands. Oh, I tell you what, this is more than just you praying for me and more than you giving seed money to this ministry. This is about you getting locked and loaded with purpose like you've never been before. I'll tell you what, this is going to be an exciting journey. That clock that's ticking in you, by the way, don't let it frighten you. Instead, use it to your advantage. Say, today is my day. I get started today. Hurry, call now. Let me hear from you. I want to get you out an information packet on how you can be a part of this exciting healing team in the days ahead. God bless you.